You're listening to the Gleneagle INEC Arena podcast. Keep up to date with all our events by following us on Facebook or visiting inec.ie. Over the last few years, Nathan Carter has quickly become a country music phenomenon, selling out shows all across Ireland, the UK and America. At just 29, he has 9 studio albums, 4 live albums and 4 live DVDs under his belt. Now, coming up later on, Nathan tells me about his love of Killarney, his addiction to buying cars and some of the strangest gifts he's been sent by his many fans. But we'll begin by talking about his Liverpool roots and his love of Ireland.
Yeah, I like going back to Liverpool. Liverpool's a great city.
Yeah.
And I was there till I was 18, and then I moved to Ireland, and I've been here now. This will be my 11th year.
Yeah.
But obviously, my mum's family originate from Northern Ireland, so I was kind of over here as a kid, and you know, spent a lot of time in Ireland growing up, playing at Flarkey Halls and playing trad music and playing the accordion. So it was always a second home to me. But I love going back to Liverpool. It's a great city. Obviously, it's full of Irish people, and a lot of people travel to Liverpool for the football, you know. It's huge, you know. But for me, to be honest, it doesn't matter where I am. You know, I am attached to Liverpool. It's where I was born. But as long as you've got your friends and your family close by, I always find it doesn't really matter where I am. I kind of feel like I'm a wandering gypsy at some stages. You know, I'm living in hotels and sleeping out of... not my car, should I say, but like sleeping out of a bag, you know,
just
a different hotel, different night, and I just I'm literally not in my own bed probably less than 4 or 5 months a year.
And do you ever find it gets tough living like that?
I mean, more recently I've been longing to just get into a more a routine. I started going to the gym, and I really enjoy that. I feel much better when I've been in the gym, you know, going 3 or 4 days a week and trying to keep healthy. And I miss that when I'm on the road, because I don't have the, what would you say, the willpower to do it. You know, you'd finish a show, you might go for a few drinks, and then the next day you get up and you just think, oh, I can't be bothered doing it, you know, because I've got a gig tonight. So so more recently I've been longing to get home and just to have a bit of normality, you know. Which is tough, because it just doesn't happen that often. So,
and do you find as well, let's say if you did go to the gym the day of a gig, that you'd be putting all your energy into the gig or into the gym, where you probably should be focusing, you know, all that energy into
not really, no. You know, I never used to be one for the gym at all, until about a year ago, and a friend of mine started going, and I said, I'll come along with you and just see how we get on, you know. But mentally, I feel much better after being in the gym. And a lot of people, if they're not into exercising or whatever, you wouldn't believe the difference it makes to someone's mental health. Just doing a bit of exercise and getting out into fresh air every day. It's really good. Not that I'm, you know, I don't suffer from depression, nothing, but just mentally you just feel in a better place. For me, I don't know if everyone's the same, but and I feel much more like I'm on it, you know. And I can conquer anything after I've been in the gym, you know, and I just feel in a much healthier and stronger place.
Do you run, or is it just weights you do?
Do a little bit of running, but it's mainly weights and training. You know, a bit of boxing and a bit of just general weights and stuff. You know, but I enjoy it, and then I feel guilty. Like this week, I've only been once to the gym, and I feel like I've missed out. I should have been doing something. You know,
it's Christmas.
I know. And then I'm going to eat too much and drink too much over the next 2 weeks, and end up putting on about a stone. So
it's such an Irish thing that we all just go, oh, feck it, it's Christmas. Like, like that's their excuse. And from the 1st of December.
It's Christmas all year long for me, though. That's
Well, that's, I think, do you find that as well? Like, when you are gigging so much that, you know, you are prone to have a drink or two after a gig, like.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. And, I mean, in Ireland, it's not the same, really, because I generally would drive a lot myself, so I can't really drink after the shows. But then you've got nights like here where we're doing 2 nights, and then obviously we all went out last night and had a great time and sampled some of Wexford's finest pubs and establishments and met some really, really nice people, you know. So,
what do you drive?
I have a Range Rover at the minute.
Lovely.
trying to sell it though, so you might be interested yourself.
I'm trying to sell my own car, so I might take you up on that though, although I don't know is mine worth as much as yours. I was talking to Jake, your brother, a couple of weeks ago. We did a, he was down for Dancing with the Stars.
Oh yeah
he loves cars.
He said it was a great night.
No, he did, and it was brilliant. It was the first ever one as well. And I think they're going to come back as well,
hopefully. Next year.
But he loves his cars as well. Is it something that's in the family?
He does, yeah. I think he got that off me, to be honest. I've been obsessed with cars nearly as much as music since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it's become a bit of a... I've never really told anyone, but it's become a bit of an obsession. I have owned about 26 cars in the last 10 years, yeah. And
do you keep breaking them, or is it just because you love them?
I don't, when I say I've owned, I buy them and then sell them.
Yeah.
I just get bored very easily.
Really?
I probably I would have a lot more money right now if I didn't have an issue with buying cars. But and I've honestly never told anyone that before. But I love the aesthetic of them, and I wouldn't say I'm the best of drivers, but I've just always had a thing for cars. I must have watched every episode of Top Gear.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, there was a program called Fifth Gear as well. Mm-hmm. And I was literally...
Top Gear was definitely better than Fifth Gear, though.
Well, do you know what? For me, Top Gear was more of an entertainment show.
Yeah.
Whereas Fifth Gear was actually all just about the cars.
Yeah, it was. And
you know, it was more about horsepower and power per ton ratio and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, I've been obsessed with cars and vans since I was a kid.
What was your first car?
My first car wasn't a car, it was a van. It was a Renault Kangoo. It was 15 years old, and it had 110,000 miles on it when I bought it, and it was the best thing I ever got. And I remember the seat wouldn't jack up. It was a, you know, it was a fixed seat.
Yeah.
And in a Renault Kangoo, if anyone's got one, you actually sit below the wheel. So you, if you're okay, less than 6 foot, you look like a midget. In the van. So I used to have two pillows jacked up underneath the seat, so I'd be a bit taller, you know. Jesus. So I moved from that onto what did I buy then? I bought a Transit, and then I got into cars. Then I was into I had a BMW for a while, a 3 Series, and then a Citroen. Then I bought a Mercedes and so on.
You went from a BMW to a Citroen?
I did, yeah. I had an old clapped-out BMW.
Right, yeah.
And then I moved to Ireland then when I was 18, and I ended up leasing a Citroen just through the company, you know, a C4, which I literally destroyed because it did the length and breadth of Ireland for 3 years.
Yeah.
And ended up giving it to some of the lads in the band, and they drove it for another 2 years after that. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was destroyed. No.
So you've definitely like travelled around Ireland a lot now over the last, 10 years?
I tried to, myself and the guy who drums with me, Gareth, he's one of my best friends. We bought a map of Ireland a few years ago, and we tried to put on, it was a big map, it was could have been like a metre by a metre, you know, squared.
Yeah.
And we tried to put pins in all the towns that we'd played, and we ran out of pins like 100. We just
really,
yeah, we've literally played in every, not every hotel, but I would say for the last 11 years, we've done a serious amount of gigs in nearly every town in Ireland.
What, so, don't be biased now saying Killarney now, but what is genuinely your favourite place to play in Ireland?
Well, I'm not being biased when I say it, because I've said it in lots of different interviews with all over Ireland and different radios, whether it be on Highland Radio in Donegal or Midwest in Mayo. But Killarney for me is the just the perfect venue. As I say, the staff, the people that come to the shows, they're just literally the most friendly people you will ever meet. Is in Kerry. And when I say when I play in Killarney, it's not just Kerry people there. There's people travel from all over Ireland. You know, a lot of Cork people, a lot of Limerick people, you know, travel. But I love playing it. And that's why we've done the weekend in the INEC over the last, as I say, 5 years. And it's become definitely one of my favourites. And I just... love the place, love the people, and hopefully we will continue to keep coming back, you know.
Do you travel when you come to Kerry? Like, do you go around on your time off and go, I don't know, up mountains or, I don't know, into the park. I don't know. What would you do? Into the gym, I suppose.
Go to the pub.
That's the pub? See, if I said that, I'd be called an alcoholic. Like, but, you know.
No, I've been... I have done a little bit of travelling in Kerry. We got on one of the horse and carts last year, you know.
And went around
carts. Went around the park.
Yeah.
And seen the old castle ruins. What's that place called?
The Mucus Abbey.
Yes,
yeah.
We went and seen that.
Yeah.
And then the year previous to that... I had friends over from Manchester and Liverpool, and Fiona, who's a mutual friend of ours, she organised a boat trip over to the hotel on the over the other side of Killarney, the 5-star hotel.
The Europe. Yeah,
so we went over
That's
on a
very fancy.
Boat to that, and as we arrived, there was a barman there with two trays of gin and tonics for us, and we all got off and spent some time at the Europe, and it was. For me, one of the best days I've ever had in my life. It was really, really cool.
Was the weather good?
The weather was... It didn't rain, but it was a bit bleak, you know. But amazing people and amazing places. And the scenery around Kerry is just unbelievable, you know.
I think it's probably one of the best views in the country when you're in
Without
the
a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And I do know, like, Kerry people... Maybe not Kerry people. Killarney people take that for granted a lot, I find.
Right. Right.
They don't really appreciate it. And then you see people coming to Killarney all the time and they're mad. Like, they're like, not mad, but they're mad about the, you know, the views, like.
Yeah, yeah.
And Killarney people are like, oh, yeah, sure, that's the mountain, like.
That's,
you know?
Yeah, they're just used to it, yeah.
Yeah, we do take it for granted.
But
listen,
that's the same in every place, you know. People who are living up in Donegal, looking over Sleeve League, just think it's the norm, you know. I think everyone's the same once you get used to something, you know.
And do you love travelling around and you know, visiting places that you haven't been to before?
Definitely, you know, I don't think I could ever actually just be in one spot and do the same job 9 to 5, five days a week. I think I'd be extremely bored. So I'm very lucky that I do get to travel and get to meet some really nice people and see some amazing places. You know, I'm very, very conscious and aware that I'm so lucky to be able to do that, you know.
Yeah. Fiona was telling me to mention your grandmother. Because she travels around with you. Does she go to all... Is she with all your gigs?
She doesn't do all the gigs. She does the gigs when we're in England and Scotland. Then she would do some of the Irish gigs. She's here at the minute. This weekend. And she's been a great inspiration to me and a massive help.
Yeah.
She's going to be 80 in March. And she literally still thinks she's 21. You know, she was up last night till... 2 a.m, up with everyone and having a crack. And
she'd be out with you then when you go for drinks and everything? And
She wouldn't be out with me, you know.
Yeah.
But, she was last night now, to be fair. We went to a pub and then we ended up back at the hotel and she was there, still up in the hotel, chatting to everyone and having a whale of time. But she knows everyone, you see. Because she's been at the gigs for 12 years, she knows all the fans and she knows a lot of them have become her friends, you know. And it keeps her young, definitely. It keeps her young. Now my granddad's at home and he's 86. Last week he turned 86. She just gets up and leaves him, you know.
Oh, really?
I think he loves it. He gets a bit of peace, you see.
So he's delighted when you're going on tour.
He's happy when we're on tour, and then she just loves it. She loves meeting everyone, and she sells the merchandise. And to her, it's a kind of a second job, you know. She takes great pride in all the merchandise and loves selling it and loves meeting everyone. So
and she when you're saying she remembers everyone, do you find it hard yourself, like, cause, you know, you're doing so many gigs and you meet people after them, do you find it hard to try to remember everybody? Do you know, let's say if you met them again next year and you forgot about them, would you feel the pressure on you?
It's funny because I had a few ones come up last night, and the most awkward question anyone can ask you is, so what's my name?
Oh yeah, okay.
And I get that quite often.
Yeah.
Tell me, what's my name? What's his name?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I'm the world's worst for remembering anyone's name. So, I'm pretty bad at that now, but I remember faces. Like, I would instantly know if I've met someone before. You know, I would say, well, how's things? You know, long time no see. But if you asked me their name, I would be useless.
Yeah.
Whereas I know Daniel O'Donnell very well, and he is the world's best at remembering everyone's name. He knows, literally, if he met you 2 years ago and met you next week, he would remember your name.
Yeah.
which I don't know how he does it because I do not have that talent. I am.
I always wonder because he is known the world's for that.
Worst. Oh, he is. Yeah.
Everyone says like he remembers everyone, and would you be like him now? Because he's kind of known as well for taking time after shows, and he could be there for hours, like four or five hours meeting everybody. Would you kind of go to yourself, Aries, I think I've enough now after an hour? Or
No, to be honest, I do a signing after 99% of the gigs.
Yeah.
If I can, I always try and do it. Like last night, we were here for an hour and 10 minutes doing the signing. You know, yeah. And tonight will be the same. Which I don't mind doing. It's very nice to see the people and to thank the people that come out and see us. You know, yeah. It's you know, I think a lot of artists sometimes take it for granted the effort that actually people go to. I mean, it's not just coming to the gig. I mean, if they've got kids, you know, it's a baby minder, a babysitter, should I say? Or, yeah. You know, it's a taxi into town. It could be a meal beforehand. It could be drinks.
Yeah.
It could be a hotel. It could be for a lot of people. Like there was people over last night from Manchester and from England, and so there's flights and you know, taxis to the airport, food for 2 days. It's a lot of money, you know, mm-hmm. just to come to one show.
Yeah.
And so for me to meet them at the end of the night is just a little thing, you know, compared to what a lot of the people have gone to get the gig, you know.
When did you kind of get a sense that, you know, you were becoming quite well known for music? Like when was the moment somebody came up to you and was like, oh my God, you're Nathan Carter? Like when did that happen?
I think probably after the first time I was on the Late Late.
Yeah.
I drove home after it, and then the next day I was in Enniskillen, and I literally must have had about 15 people stop me when I was going to get lunch in the local cafe, and they were like, oh, seen you last night on TV, great, you know, great song or whatever, you know, and I was like, Jesus, this is mad, like, you know, because in Enniskillen where I live, a lot of people wouldn't stop me at all, you know, I think they're just probably fed up looking at me, they're used to me, you know, at this stage, but that was probably about 5-6 years ago when I'd done the Late Late, and a lot of people were coming up saying, you know, seeing you on TV and so on. So that was probably the time where I kind of realised, geez, this is, you know, I'm a lot of people obviously know who I am now, which is pretty weird.
Yeah. So. And how do you find that? Like, I think everybody in the country would know Nathan Carter. So how do you feel with that?
I don't know if everyone would, but they might know the name. You know, they probably would have heard the name at this stage, but they might know what I look like. I often get mistaken for Jake, which is a huge compliment because Jake's actually 8 years younger than me and actually looks nothing like me. But a lot of people come up and say, geez, you were on Dancing with the Stars. And I'm like, no, that was my brother.
Yeah.
So it's a bit weird. But I don't know. It's strange, you know. No, I don't think anyone gets into singing or playing music to be... Well, I don't know. Maybe they do. But I didn't get into it to be famous and to be recognised. I just got into it because I like music. I like gigging. And I like entertaining people as well. You know,
that's, for
me, entertainment is key. It's about people coming out to have a good time and forget about all the stuff that's going on in their lives that they probably want to forget about, you know, for a couple of hours. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't get into it to be famous, so it for me, that is a bit weird, that whole side of the thing. It's a bit strange, yeah.
When did you start? Like, did you start playing music, or did you start singing first?
No, I was playing music. I was playing the accordion when I was 5. My dad's dad, who's no longer with us, he died about 18 years ago.
Yeah.
He taught me a couple of tunes on the accordion, Danny Boy and stuff like that, you know. And I always just loved the accordion from then on, and used to enter the Flarkey Halls and play. I was in a Cayley band for years, and I loved it. Some of my best friends that I have now are actually people that I've met through the music, growing up, which is really cool. I think the music is similar to the dancing as well. You know, if you're an Irish dancer as well, you have a lot of friends in a circle.
Yeah, you know,
from that, and then you have your school friends. You know.
Yeah. And you played. When did you start playing piano then?
I started learning piano when I was 8, and I did my grades up until I got to like grade 5 and did the theory.
Yeah.
And then I gave up on the grades. I just got fed up.
Yeah.
Just like playing by ear, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, that's. I think most good musicians are self-taught in a way, because I mean, if you stick to the book, like you're going to play a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you kind of come up with your own style and technique like that, that's what makes somebody stand out. Like,
definitely. Yeah.
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 So that's kind of what you did yourself.
There's no point in copying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
You know, you need to find your own identity.
Yeah.
You know, which you obviously have done as well. Do you know what I mean? You're writing and.
I'm not selling the Wexford Opera House.
Well, not yet.
Not yet. Maybe next year now. Yeah. You moved to Ireland when you were 18. Where was the first place you moved to?
I moved to Donegal originally. I was actually right on the border of Donegal and Derry, a place called Bridgend, which is famous for having four garages within the stretch of about a mile.
Right.
Big fuel garages, because it was cheaper on the border, you see the fuel.
Okay, so, right.
But I lived there for 3 years with my nan's friend. She put me up for a few years, and then I used to travel to Enniskillen in Fermanagh to meet my manager John Farry, and he lived there, and in the end I was just commuting quite a lot there, and I said, you know, I'll just rent a place here, that'd be easy. And it was a bit further down. It was taking me like 3.5 hours to get from Dublin to Donegal. You know, it was a long trek. Donegal is an amazing county, absolutely amazing views and stunning scenery, but it's literally the furthest away place from anywhere.
So
I ended up moving to Enniskillen, and I've been there now for 7-8 years, and I'm in the midst of buying a house at the minute, hopefully signing next week for the house, but I like it there. I'm probably going to be there for the near future anyway.
Do your for the new house now, do your neighbours know it's Nathan Carter inside there?
Weird story, in Enniskillen everybody knows your business, and it's probably like every small town around.
That's like every town. That's just Ireland.
I was nosy. Told 2 years ago when this house came up for sale that I'd bought the house already. I was in the bank one day, and they were saying, you've bought the house, name the road and the house. And I said, no, I've not even seen the house. Oh, that's what we heard. We heard you bought it already. And I must have, in Enniskillen, been told 10 to 15 times that I bought different properties or houses. And I've never even stepped foot in them, you know. So it's pretty funny. That's just small towns. You know?
It is. Would you get a lot of fan mail in the post, in the letterbox?
Yeah, do you know what's really weird? I found this hilarious. I had to put it up on Instagram one day, that if you people send me mail and it just says Nathan Carter and then has Fermanagh Island, and it gets to my address.
Yeah.
So that's pretty weird.
So the postman definitely knows where you live.
It's really weird. Because if you were in England or Scotland, that would not happen at all.
Not at all. There was a letter went viral a couple of years ago of a Donegal postman, and I think it was just like, it was like the first, it was your man's first name and then basically his county, and the Donegal postman found it, like.
Yeah.
I don't know how people do it, like, but what was the weirdest thing you've been sent by someone?
I've been sent a lot of strange stuff actually in the post. I've had like underwear posted to me. Used underwear, which is pretty weird. I've had cakes come in the post, which have been ended up like, clearly the cake isn't going to be in one piece by the time it gets from where they've sent it from,
and possibly out of date as well.
And I've had a lot of weird stuff. I can't think of anything like stand out, to be honest, but I mean, I do get sent a lot of stuff, and this time of year, Christmas time, I get a lot of presents.
You can say shit.
I was going to say a shitload of presents. Yeah.
So we're not on the radio.
Yeah, we're not on the radio. We're not live. I get literally sent a shitload of presents, which is very kind.
Yeah.
But I often end up having to give them to family or friends because I can't eat all the chocolate. Literally, I'd be like 25 stone if I ate all the chocolate I was given.
Yeah.
And if I drank all the drink I was given, I would be on the floor dead. So
yeah.
You know, but I'm very, you know, very lucky. A lot of people are so kind, giving me gifts, you know. And but as I say, I end up having to share them with everyone because I just can't.
That's not a bad thing, I suppose. No. I saw last night somebody sent you like 6 bottles of gin, and then there was crates of
that was
of
from beer. One lady who travels, come and see us all the time. She sent a full, what would you call it, a basket, like a hamper full of crisps, chocolates, two bottles of Hendrix, a bottle of Bombay, a bottle of Gordon's, a bottle of Sambuca, a bottle of Grey Goose, and all the mixes to go with it,
yeah.
Plus three crates of Peroni and three crates of Heineken. So literally that would feed an army.
Yeah. You know,
it would literally...
That's about 500 or 600 euro there.
Yeah, yeah.
They must have thought she was a serious drinker inside in the shop.
Could you imagine her going in, can I have four bottles of gin?
Yeah, yeah.
Two vodkas, a Sambuca, a bottle of Bailey's as well was there as well. Funny enough, there it is sitting up there.
It's probably a limit, like, yeah. They probably wouldn't even serve her all that, like.
But, yeah. It's just so generous, you know.
Yeah.
And we don't expect it, like, I mean, it's mad, you know.
Or it's nice. She must have got in maybe the duty free or something.
Maybe. I'd like to think she got a deal.
I'd hope so. I feel sorry for her after spending all that money.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. When you were a kid, like, did you come to Ireland before you moved here, like, as in, like, with the family, like, would you travel to Ireland?
Yeah, when I was growing up, I was used to enter the Flaky Holes, and the Ireland Fla would always be on in the summer, so we spent our summer holidays in Ireland, wherever that Fla would be, so we did, like, 1 year in Enniscorthy, we were 1 year in Cavan, we were 1 year in Tullamore. Literally seeing a lot of Ireland growing up because of the music, you know.
Yeah.
And I would travel over with family, and we would, as I say, treat it as our summer holidays. We were here for a month or 6 weeks, and just loved it. I think that's why I ended up moving, because it was like a second home in the end, you know. So.
Was it always country music you were into as a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was the odd one out at school. Now I was listening to Garth Brooks and the Dixie Chicks, and my friends were all into Eminem,
yeah,
you know, and Dido, you know, remember the duet they did? I remember that.
Oh,
Stan,
fucking 8 Mile,
Stan,
yeah.
I remember that as a kid, and there's me listening to "I've Got Friends in Low Places," you know, by Garth.
That's a great tune. Yeah,
I know, but my friends didn't think that at the time. They were like, "What are you listening to?" Like, you know, so they just thought I was the oddest kid ever. But always loved it.
Yeah,
and used to get dragged along to see. When I say dragged, I enjoyed it, but I used to get dragged along to the Irish Centre of Liverpool to go and see the likes of Brendan Shine and Fermina Begley and all them old, they're not old, but do you know what I mean? Them seasoned performers, should I say, that have been around for years doing what they do, and they're fantastic at what they do. And, you know, I've become friends with a lot of them now. Like, I would ring Fermina up once a month and just see how she's getting on. She would ring me, and you know, I'm very lucky to have good friends in the music business. But I mean, I was taken to see them as a kid, so I was introduced to that type of music as well, you know, the country and the Irish type of stuff. And then I went to see the Dubliners when I was about 9 and fell in love with them. I just thought that was the best band I'd ever seen. They were great. Just Paddy Riley was singing with them at the time, and singing Fields of Athenry and The Rare Old Times and Dirty Old Town, all that stuff, you know. And just loved it. And left school then when I was 17. Just started gigging in all the pubs around Liverpool and Manchester, and earned a great living. My friends were doing Saturday jobs and night shifts in bars, and I was earning in one night what they were working for all week, and you know, they couldn't get over it, you know. So
did you find that they would have been jealous?
No, they were always very supportive, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, they laughed at me when I was in school because I was listening to all that stuff.
Yeah,
know? But
yeah.
Then in the end, when they seen, he's singing all the Irish stuff again.
But yeah, so, yeah.
How much is he getting? He's getting 120 quid for doing 2 hours singing there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Which was still is a lot of money, you know.
Yeah.
And back then, that was a huge amount of money for me. You know, my friends literally worked all week to get that, you know, and I would 2 hours in a pub and I'd get 150 or 120 quid.
What age were you when you started in bars?
16, 17.
Yeah.
I'd started when I was still in school. Then I left school to do it full time. And my mum and dad didn't want me leaving school. They wanted me to go to uni and get a music degree or get some sort of degree, you know. And I just, school wasn't for me. I just didn't like it. And I knew I could earn money by singing, so.
Yeah. And
why would you not?
You never really had it. Did you even have a course or anything that you wanted to, that you might have seen yourself doing, or was it always just, no, I'm not going?
No. Just hated school.
Yeah.
Didn't hate it, but I didn't. Me and school didn't really get on. And as I say, I'd started making money, and I was just like, well, that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
I literally don't want to do anything else. I couldn't see myself becoming a doctor or a solicitor or a builder. My dad's a builder, and I helped him out during the weekend sometimes, and absolutely hated that. It was, you know, torture.
Yeah.
Doing manual labour. I was just hated it.
Yeah. Did you have any kind of jobs as a kid? Like summer jobs?
I had a paper round.
Was you just newspapers?
Yeah, newspapers.
Yeah, yeah.
Dropping them off to people's houses.
Yeah.
And I actually got sacked from it because I bought a petrol scooter. And I was waking up all the neighbours in the morning at 6 a.m. they know it was coming, you know, with the petrol scooter.
You're so like I got one of those
sacked
chickens
for making too much noise.
Yeah, yeah. One of those annoying chickens that you'd hear next door.
Yeah.
Barking at like 6 o'clock in the morning. So that was paper route. And what after that then?
And then just I started in the pubs then. You know.
So that's it. You're the only like apart from music, the job you've had.
Yeah.
Newspapers. Yeah. Can you see yourself becoming a journalist someday?
No, I can't spell, so yeah. Definitely couldn't.
Can you not?
No. Oh, yeah. I'm the world's worst speller.
Yeah.
I'm terrible. I always, you know, when I put up an Instagram post, I have to ask all the lads in the morning, hey, how do you spell this? And you wouldn't believe it, but GCSEs, did you do GCSEs or you did
We did the junior cert and
the junior
cert,
yeah. Well, in Liverpool, we did GCSEs, in England, did the GCSEs. And I got an A in English. And I, for the life of me, I cannot figure out. I think they must have mixed up my paper with someone else's.
Yeah.
Because
I
cannot spell.
Yeah.
I'm awful.
I'm terrible myself. And I know I could put up something on Facebook and my mom would text me, do you know, Carl, take that down. It's like there's so many misspellings. Yeah. So I often think to myself, Jesus, maybe I am a bit small, bit dyslexic. Like, but it's, I've never been like, I haven't, the doctor hasn't called me that. Like, do you know, so. I don't think I am.
It hasn't been confirmed.
No, so I'd say you're probably the same, are you?
Yeah, I am, yeah. I haven't gone for the test.
Yeah. Yeah, so, look, it's all right. Well, as long as you don't have to spell, you know, when you're singing, like, so. Unless you're singing the alphabet.
I can pronounce the words, I just can't spell them.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's all right. Well, look, it's been great talking to you.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, it's been brilliant.
We really are excited about this weekend in Killarney.
Yeah.
Next year is my 10 years on the road. I'm going to be 10 years in the business, so it's going to be a special weekend for us. We've got some great guests coming, Johnny Brady and Cleona Hagen, Philomena Begley, and loads of other guests as well. But it's going to be a really great weekend, and I look forward to it every year, but I think I'm looking forward to this one especially just because it's the big anniversary and
extra, you know, special.
It's going to be extra special.
And I'm sure for years to come, you'll still be coming.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
As I say, I'm not just saying it because you're here, but Killarney is my favourite place to play.
We'll try to get you like an OBE or something. If we get on, I'll sort it out, look.
Killarney
next
tourism.
Time you're down, I get on to the town hall, I'll say, come here, Nathan Carter's always praising Killarney, so we need to get him like a medal.
Just a statue in the town.
A statue. People like to know the new Kelly statue in Dublin with the big frizzy hair that they're after putting in.
Joe Dolan one in Mullingar.
Yeah.
I got a picture of that a few weeks ago.
We'll have to get a Nathan Carter bust.
There's a big Tom one in Castlelaney as well.
And we'll put it in Muckers Abbey because that's your favourite. There you are. All right. Well, thanks very much.
Oh, just one of the pubs in town. That'll do.
Yeah. I don't know. Putting a statue of Nathan Carter inside. And,
what's the Leaf Bar? In
the Grand.
The Grand. Yeah. Just outside the Grand.
We've met there a good few times at about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Great spot for late drink.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
That's
is.
The dangerous thing about it. And sure, I'll see you in the Grand next time we're down. So.
Definitely. In May. We're looking forward to it.
Definitely. Thanks for listening to the Gleneagle INEC Arena podcast. If you liked this podcast, make sure you subscribe to this channel and follow us online for more.